Well, hi, my name is Zack Snyder, and you're listening to the Black Bar Podcast. On today's episode, I was able to talk with James Meehan, the youth pastor and content creator for Life Church's Switch Student Ministry. Over the course of our conversation, we talk about digital youth ministry, reaching students in the digital age, and the importance of being intentional about your digital strategies. But before we hop into that conversation, I want to share with you about today's affiliate partner, LiveVoice. LiveVoice is a great service that turns any smartphone or computer into a flexible, cloud-based audio transmission system that requires no special hardware. As long as you have access to Wi-Fi or reliable 3, 4, or 5G connection, you can turn your computer or phone into a flexible interpreting system for conferences, meetings, online events, or really any other setting where translation services are needed. LiveVoice provides pricing that is customizable and super affordable, and as long as you provide the translator, they provide the service. You can visit livevoice.io to get more information. And when you sign up, be sure to use the code BLKBAR at checkout to get 10% off your first 3 months. And now, let's hop into our conversation with James Meehan.
Yeah, so I started with Life Church when I was a whopping 12 years old.
Ooh, wow.
So that would be 15 years ago now.
Wow.
So 12 years old, you know, the glory days of middle school.
Oh, of course.
At that time in my life, my family had just left the Catholic Church, and my dad is Irish, mom's Italian, so we were Catholic all the way back. And then through some pretty difficult family circumstances, family falling apart, my faith crumbling with it, we decided to try something different. My dad had a coworker that invited us to Life Church, and that first weekend, my parents loved it. I hated it. So for the next 7 years, I looked for any and every excuse to not be involved with our church. Now, Life Church is a very great church, like especially for young people and teenagers. It was a blast, but it was an hour long. And my best friend went to a church that was 40 minutes long. And my parents' rule growing up was that we didn't have to go to Life Church every weekend, but we had to go to a church every weekend. And so I would wake up at 8 a.m. to go to church with my friends so we could be done at 9, and then we could just play video games for the rest of the day.
Hey, that sounds like a perfect Sunday, right?
Right. It was, I had a blast. And I actually remember, though, one time, a single time, going to one of our student ministry Wednesday night Switch experiences. I was a freshman in high school, and it was cool. There was like fun, there was games, there was hot dogs, but I just wasn't into it. Mm-hmm. Because by that point in my life, I had completely walked away from all things faith. I had stopped believing in God and was in a group of friends that looked for any and every reason to make fun of Christians. Mm-hmm. And so I showed up, had a good time, but decided this wasn't for me. It wasn't until 5 years after that, at the age of 19, after having graduated from high school, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life, that I ended up moving back in with my parents, who were still attending Life Church, got us involved serving through being surrounded by really great people who genuinely loved God and actually loved me. That started to open me up to the possibility that maybe there's something, this whole Christianity thing.
Yeah.
And along the way, my older sister wanted to get involved in the student ministry Switch because she had a really rough time in middle school and high school, and she wanted to make a difference in the lives of others. And she said, if you come with me, I will buy you Chipotle. And so I said, all right, I'm in.
There you go. The golden
ticket. And that was the beginning of this journey of getting involved with our student ministry. And it's pretty shortly after that that I realized, wow, I really do have a passion for students. And mm-hmm. I want to be able to impart some of the wisdom I've learned to them to help them have maybe a little bit less of a sucky time during those really challenging and formative years. And it started with me as a sixth grade small group leader. I ended up doing an unpaid internship for the church. After that, eventually was hired on as an associate youth pastor. Then I became the lead youth pastor at our broadcast location for about 3 years before transitioning into the content role that I sit in now, where I get to support all of our different Life Church locations and our youth pastors by helping craft the message content, the Bible plans that support it, the resources for our leaders to help equip them to do what they do best in leading their students in meaningful conversations about the things of God and getting to know them. And so that's been the journey I've been on since I was 19. So that's about 8 years now of involvement with Life Church, 2.5 years in the current role that I sit in.
That's awesome. Well, I know this isn't the conversation for it, but you'll have to unpack the structure of your Chipotle ministry sometime after this conversation, because yes. It sounds like that's a great way in for youth students.
Well, here's the deal. One of our values as a church is that we will do anything short of sin
yeah.
to reach people who do not know Christ. In order to reach people nobody's reaching, we're going to do things that nobody is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister knew that the way to reach me was through the stomach.
As is the case for just about every youth student. So for a little context, Life Church is pretty big. I mean, you said you're writing a lot of content, which is probably massively helpful, especially as I presume you guys have a pretty large volunteer culture.
Yep.
So people, I assume, that are helping with youth ministry, most of them have full-time jobs or roles or families. So equipping them with that kind of content is going to be valuable. How many churches or plants do you guys think you have within the ministry that's using your content?
Currently, we are meeting in 40 locations, and each of those locations has a student ministry with a youth pastor that leads it, and it is run by a number of volunteers who, like you said, have full-time jobs but are giving their time above and beyond to serve in the ministry. And then in addition to that, we put all of our resources on our open platform, open.church, where any church that wants to get resources from us and other churches that contribute to this can download it all for free. And so I have no idea how many different churches are using our resources through that, but I get to have conversations with lots of them pretty regularly who do. And so the number is a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful to get to be a part of it. And so, yeah, it's been really fun.
That's very cool. So as you guys have 40 plus locations, depending on how many people are using it beyond Life Church.
Right.
Regionally, you guys are Midwest, South. I mean, probably a pretty large range of folks as far as their culture that this is being used in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the majority of our locations are kind of in the Midwest area. We started out in Oklahoma, but we do have locations in New York. We've got some in Florida. We've got some in New Mexico. And so it really is a pretty wide-ranging demographic of students that we're trying to reach with the good news of Jesus.
Yeah. So as you are a content creator, or really any creator that's in the church, we always have to keep in mind demographic and culture and what is the aesthetic around us? What is the look of the content that we're creating? So what informs or inspires kind of that process for you, keeping in mind there's so many demographics you're hitting as far as regionally in the States?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's helpful for us is the realization that the audience we are trying to reach, Gen Z primarily and Gen Alpha coming behind them, are a globalized generation because of the internet. And so the types of content they're consuming on the internet is consistent across the different demographics. And so while those demographics are still different, there's more unity amongst this generation than previous ones. And so that actually helps us a lot in this. And so one of the things that we're constantly trying to do is be aware of the globalization of this generation and also not forget the specifics and the nuances that each of these different demographics are experiencing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that helps us with that is constantly asking the question, what is it that students are tuning into? What are the things that they're finding cool, attractive, appealing, that they're wanting to give their attention to? And how can we learn from that? And so for us, we kind of think the two different categories of like the style and the substance. And so stylistically, we want to be on the cutting edge of what students find appealing, cool, attractive, because we want to be able to do anything short of sin to reach people who do not know Jesus. And so if that looks like Chipotle, fantastic. If that looks like some fun, cool TikTok trend, great. Like we don't have a problem with hopping on that bandwagon. We just want to make sure that the substance of what we're bringing to our students is true. It's rooted in scripture. It brings them to Jesus and helps them experience the life that he offers. And so stylistically, we really want to be learning from our students. We want to be students of the culture. And when it comes to the substance, we want to be students of scripture. And we believe that when these two things come together, it creates a really cool bridge to help meet our students where they are, when they are, and how they are, so that hopefully we can bring them a little bit closer to the truth of who God is and what that means for them.
Very, very cool. So I think hearing this, probably the first question that anyone would ask, you mentioned TikTok, is what are the platforms that you're leveraging? Because there's so many, like I'm millennial, so I'm familiar with MySpace and Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, yeah. Instagram's my personal favorite, but now you've got TikTok, you've got WhatsApp and Discord. There are so many things even that are probably being generated now that will appear in the next 5 to 10 years that will fully take over Alpha. How are you guys deciding where you're going to be?
What a beautiful question. And I wish I had a perfect answer for you. The way we're kind of deciding it is we're just trying it and seeing what sticks. Mm-hmm. Now, for us, I would say the dominant platforms that we're on are YouTube and Instagram, because those are the ones where it's like, okay, we've gotten some traction there. It's seemed to work really well. And we as a church know how to create content that will engage with our students there. right now we're still experimenting with other places. So we do quite a bit of stuff on Twitch as well, mm-hmm. with the streaming service, with yep. different game tournaments and whatnot. So I would say that's kind of like the next tier of where our attention goes. And for us, we've tried to figure out TikTok as a church, and we're still in the iteration and learning process. And that's one of the things that we've just had to almost be okay with, in the sense that, wow, as much as we wish we could do everything brilliantly, we know that we actually can't. And so how do we be wise and strategic? How do we be willing to try new things and put the resources where they need to be to get the impact we're looking for? And if something doesn't work, how do we learn from it? How do we choose to redirect those efforts somewhere else? And so for us, I would say we tend to look at where students are, and then we look at what resources do we have, and can those meet those students where they are? Again, at this point in the process, we're still learning and innovating and experimenting, just like I think most people are, as to try to figure out how do we navigate this new world where things are more digital and online than ever before. Because before 2020, the internet and online things were a part of our ministry, but they were not the focus of our ministry. Now, with the, you know, being on the other side of 2020, we realize we cannot have that be an afterthought. It has to be one of the main priorities of what we do. And we're still learning, we're still innovating, we're still trying to figure out how do we effectively do ministry in a digital space, knowing that all of the rules of the internet are different. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So what can we do to maximize what we bring to the table as a church, with specific individuals, with specific giftings, who are trying to reach a generation that is experiencing really specific challenges, and they are digital natives in a way that we aren't. So how do we continually be in conversation with them, learning from them, finding the people who are better at this than we are, and inviting them into the conversation, so that we, even though we've got a whole lot of different locations and we've learned how to do some things really, really well, we never want to assume that we've got it all figured out, because things are changing at such a rapid pace that as soon as we do, we get left behind.
Yeah, sure. I think what's interesting is that there is kind of a joke that goes around that oftentimes youth pastors are the first on the staff that ends up getting handed like 20 different things, or like the youth pastor is also the content creator and is also the tech guy and is also the worship pastor, especially when it comes to a smaller church. You know, that's a pretty normal thing that a lot of people experience. A lot of our community that listen tend to be on the smaller side, you know, looking at Life Church being a larger community, a larger structure. What helps you guys decide where most of your energy is going to go? So like if a youth pastor is deciding, I got to figure out where to be with my kids and I got to get ready for Sunday with the tech and the worship or something along those lines, how do you decide what to cut? And then I guess what allows that cut to be okay? Less so of a loss and more so of an intentional decision.
So I'm going to go two different angles with this question. Mm-hmm. One, very like biblical. The other one, kind of like basic leadership principles. Yeah. And I think they overlap. So the biblical one, Ephesians 4:11 tells us that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And then all throughout scripture, there's different places where we hear about the different gifts that are given to the church by the Spirit. And so we want to make sure that we are incredibly self-aware of what we are really gifted in, and also what maybe we aren't gifted in. Because what you described is this very real pressure and tension that the youth pastor or the person who's overseeing the creative strategies or whatever the role is, it's almost this pressure and expectation that this individual has to be great at everything.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us are gifted in all of those things. I think this is what makes the body of Christ so beautiful. It is this joining together of people with different gifts who, in that joining together, we can work to equip other people to do the ministry so that we'll reach unity in the faith, we'll grow in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we'll become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That comes when all of us are bringing our different gifts to the table in a way that is unified and in alignment with Jesus, where he's leading us. So there's the biblical answer.
Yeah.
And the leadership answer is we are constantly asking the question, what is the return on the investment here? What's the ROI? How much time and energy are we spending on this thing? And is it actually bringing us the results we're looking for? So if I just zoom back and look at the different ways we've crafted message content for our Wednesday night student ministry gatherings, we have gone through so many different variations of it. Like when I first got involved with Life Church, we primarily did like 4-week narratives. And so what these were was each week, the message was a 15 to 20 minute, almost like episode of a TV show. And they were cool. Like we would have actors and there would be casting and directing and all of these different things. And it was cool. But what we realized is, wow, that takes a lot of time and energy to coordinate all of this. And we're trying to do this with the budget and schedule of a church that is not quite the same budget and schedule of Hollywood.
Sure.
And so what we were basically doing was creating cool, but not nearly as high quality versions of what our students were already seeing on Netflix, Disney, Nickelodeon, name the show. And so we adapted, we shifted, and we started crafting content that looked a lot more like what most of our students at the time were watching on YouTube, which were more internet personality, talking to a camera, vlog style, follow me throughout my day. And that was cool. But again, we realized we were still missing the mark because we're trying to figure out how do we help a youth pastor become an internet personality when that's not necessarily how they're gifted.
Yeah.
How do we as a church become a YouTube channel, but we've also got all of these other things that are happening at the same time. And so it wasn't actually working to the degree that we hoped it would. And so we then shifted back to what I think some people will hear this and be like, well, yeah, you should have just done this from the beginning, which is a more classic pastor on a stage teaching a message. Because within the context of who we are as a church, how we operate and the things we're good at, we can do that and get a really good return on the investment because it's what most of our people know how to do. We can do it really quickly. And then that actually gave us the margin and the time and the budget to create specific shows for our YouTube channel that hit those different niche audiences that maybe wouldn't engage with our typical Wednesday night messaging. And so instead of trying to have our messages be everything for everyone, we just let them be messages. Now, this ties back to the biblical thing, because instead of trying to get our youth pastors to be everything for everyone, we just want them to be youth pastors. And this is one of the things I'm really passionate about with us crafting the content the way we do, where the team I sit on, we get to help own all of the content creation for our youth pastors so that their schedule is filled with pastoring students, partner with parents, and leading their leaders so that they can do what they are meant to do, what they're best at doing, and we can resource them with it. Now, shameless plug here. If you're a youth pastor who has to do everything, all of that, and also run the social media, and also create the content, and also preach the content, and also everything else under the sun, we would love to help resource you with some of these resources that you can find completely for free on open.church. And it's not just stuff from us. It's also stuff from other churches that contribute to it. And even if that just gets you 6 weeks ahead to create some margin, to start identifying people who can own the social media for you, because you may not be great at it, there's somebody in your ministry who probably is. And once you get the mental space to look ahead, identify those people, give them the vision and equip them with it, they're probably going to be able to do more than you could ever do on your own. Like, I know I'm really good at some things, not at all good at other things. And the times where I feel most exhausted are when I step out of my sweet spot, outside of my gifting, and I try to do somebody else's job.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that works for us in our context because of the size of our organization, the fact that we have our youth pastors at the campuses and our central organization that supports those. But for you, there are really, really great resources out there. I'm offering you ours, but there's other things as well that can help you just get a little bit ahead so that you can start to identify those people to carry some of that weight with you.
I love that. That's very cool. So kind of transitioning onto our next question here, you guys talk about how you're on YouTube, Instagram. In the current age, you know, there's all these statistics, all these things, things that are shared on Facebook and Instagram about how harmful social media can be for the students, for the young adults as they mature and develop into their own identity. So with that in mind, how does your team approach using digital content and social media as a ministry tool without playing into those problems that negatively affect and are actually present in the social media world?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's being aware of the positives and also the negatives. We see social media as exactly what you described it as. It is a tool. It is a tool that can be used for really, really good things and also for really, really not so good things. Mm-hmm. And so for us, instead of just leaving social media to only be a space where bad things are taking place, how can we bring some light into an area that kind of needs it? And how do we leverage our social media in such a way to give our students a taste that there's more than maybe what they're regularly seeing? How do we maybe use it as just a little sprinkle of hope throughout their day. How do we use it to maybe get them thinking about something that's different than probably what they were thinking about before? How do we use that as a tool to actually equip them and give them resources that they can use to share with their friends that may not be willing to show up to church, but maybe they would watch this 8-minute video of a group of high school students talking about anxiety. And so what we're trying to do is leverage this resource that is social media as a church to bring people closer to Jesus. And for us, you know, a lot of it comes down to this phrase we say constantly, which is we want to meet students where they are, when they are, and how they are, so that we can bring them closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
And where are they? They are on the internet. And so if we want to go into all the nations and make disciples, you better believe right now, most of the nations are on the internet.
Yeah.
If we want to meet them when they're there all the time. So how can we create a space and create a ministry that is available for students at 2 o'clock in the morning when they've been staying up way too late playing Fortnite or scrolling through TikTok?
Yep.
How do we meet students how they are, where we're not just communicating in ways that are comfortable for us, but in ways that actually connect with them? And so for us, we really do see social media as a tool. We're very aware of the harmful side effects that can come from it. And so while we're using it as a tool, we want to model good and healthy practices of what that looks like. Like we are really intentional about being mindful of how much time we as individuals spend on social media. Are we modeling good and healthy practices? Are we doing the things on social media that fuel somebody's addiction that we're speaking out against? Or are we modeling social media practices that are actually good and helpful without some of those unintended consequences? And so we want to be incredibly mindful, but we don't want to allow that mindfulness to create inaction, because where are students? They're on social media. Social media is a tool, and we want to do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Jesus. And that includes being in that space and letting that be an opportunity to build a bridge to connect them to Jesus.
Yeah, very cool. So I'm sure we don't have time to go into all the details in our kind of half an hour conversation today, but a couple of those things that you talked about, mental health issues. I mean, you could probably list a handful of other things that are very culturally hot topics directly affect our students and our young adults. How do you guys tend to kind of approach those kind of things, especially on the scale that you're on?
Yeah, I mean, for us, a lot of it comes back to recognizing the role that we get to play as the church. And we're aware that while there's a lot we can do, we can't do everything. And so when it comes to things like mental illness, mental health challenges, struggles like that, we want to provide perspective. We want to provide hope, but we want to do it in partnership with real experts. And so at every single one of our Life Church locations, we have different counselors and counseling firms that we partner with and we send people to, because our youth pastors are really great pastors.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of them are actually licensed counselors. And so we want to be able to have the relationship to provide the right level of pastoral care and coaching for these individuals that are dealing with that. And we also want to be able to have the relationships with the people who can carry on the conversation further than we can.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we often do is we resource people with other relationships. Because again, if we try to do everything for everyone, we're going to be ineffective. We're going to be spread too thin. And so it looks like bringing awareness of, here's what the Bible teaches about this idea. Here's how Jesus can meet you in this time of need. And also, what you might be dealing with is really significant. Here's some places that we'd love to point you to with really intentional relationships where these people are trained in helping you navigate this thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So alongside that, earlier you mentioned how you guys kind of have shifted, especially in the past 2-3 years, a lot of what you do. How have you guys been impacted by the pandemic? Because I think, the pandemic is going to be a hot topic for years and years to come.
Right,
and how much it changed and impacted church, ministry, even like jobs, roles, mental health, community. So for you guys that have such a big entity, what did that impact your ministry specifically?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it really did push us even more into the hybrid church model, mm-hmm. where in the past, 90% of what we did was in real life, face-to-face, in-person gatherings. And then with the pandemic, where there was a season where we had 0% of that, we shifted a lot of energy and resources towards how do we connect with students that we're not seeing physically face-to-face in our locations. Well, we've got to be more invested in the digital space. And coming out of that, as more things have continued to open up and we're, sort of on this side of 2020, we've gone back to more emphasis once again on the in real life gatherings, but we haven't neglected or left behind these online things. And so where in the past, it was probably like 90% in real life, 10% online. Then 2020 was like 80% online, 20% in person as stuff slowly started to open up in our different areas. Now we're probably more around like the 50-50 range of time and energy and resources going towards each space. And what we're trying as much as we can to do is bridge the gap between online and in real life so that instead of it feeling like two separate things, it's all one cohesive experience. And so with our in real life experiences, we point to the online things that we have. With our online things, we direct people to in real life relationships that for those people who might be tuning in from a area that has a Life Church location, or we actually have small groups that meet entirely online throughout the US and actually some in other countries. And so we use those as places for those people who are entirely an online member of our youth ministry for them to get connected to relationships, even if it's on a Zoom call or over the internet, because we never want to make the mistake of thinking that good content can ever replace meaningful relationships. So how do we craft all of this together to bring people into community? Because we believe that life change happens in the context of relationships that bridges the gap and hopefully along the way helps these students take really practical steps to grow in their faith.
Yeah. Wow. So James, we're kind of nearing the end of our conversation today. I was wondering before we go, if you could share some advice or encouragement for the youth ministers and pastors and leaders that are currently trying to navigate everything that you guys are, but on the smaller scale, on maybe a scale in which they feel like they don't have enough of a team or volunteers or resources. Do you have any thoughts or words as we continue to transition into a very digital age in which we're trying to figure out what needs to be physical and what needs to be digital, and then where that blend and hybrid comes in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest piece of advice that I would give is to be very aware of what your gifting is and figure out how do you operate within your gifting and then surround yourself with people who can support that. Again, it's what we've talked about earlier, but I think this bears repeating because as a youth pastor, there is going to be this pressure you feel to try to do everything, to wear every single hat. And if you do that, you're going to wear yourself out. Yeah. You're going to be less effective than you would like to be. And there will be people who have gifts that are not being utilized, potential that's not being realized because they aren't being given permission to be a part of building whatever that ministry is. Whether you've got 10 students or 100 students showing up to your ministry, there's some people within that that probably have something they can bring to the table that you don't. And so whatever it looks like for you to give yourself permission to invite other people into the journey of building this thing, even if the way that they do it is not as nearly as good as you're currently doing it.
Yeah.
If you give them space, if you give them time, you give them coaching, then eventually they'll probably do it just as good, if not better, than you currently are. And you'll be able to bring more of yourself to the things that only you can do. And I think when that mindset shift happens, really, really cool things start to take place.
I love that. Very cool, man. Thank you for sharing that. As I mentioned earlier, we always try to make sure there's time at the end for shameless self-promotion. Is there anything else that you guys would like to promote or share today? Or would you even like to just do a quick recap of what exactly people can find from the resources you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, I mean, so as an organization, everything we create, we put online, open.church, completely for free. And so if you are a youth pastor in a smaller church where you're having to wear a lot of different hats, we would love to support you by making all of that available. So that's messages, Bible plans, volunteer discussion guides, graphics, videos, all of that is available. Open.church, you can just search Switch and you'll find a whole library worth of resources that could help give you some of that margin to identify some of those people to help give them even more ownership of your ministry. And then if you just wanna keep up with us, at LC Switch is our Instagram channel. Switch Youth is what we're currently doing on YouTube, to just give you an example of some of the things that we've been doing as we're trying to figure out how do we effectively bridge the gap between what's happening in real life and online.
Thank you for listening to the Black Bar Podcast. If you enjoyed the program, be sure to hit that subscribe button, leave a review, and share today's conversation so that others can join in on our community. If you'd like to go beyond the podcast, you can also connect with us on the Black Bar Discord. The Discord is where you'll find a community that is actively part of inspiring, encouraging, and educating fellow Christian creatives. You can visit discord.blk.bar to get connected. Also, be sure to check out this episode's show notes for a link to today's affiliate partner. We can't wait to see you next time as we uncover more secrets of the church media and marketing world.